Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
Welcome back to the Screen Verdict podcast. We apologize. There's been a little bit of a delay in between episodes. But Matt, I'm excited to review one of our favorite shows.
I am too. And yes, we're back from our hiatus. Apologies to anyone who may have thought we'd just folded in the podcast the past like 4 months with no new episodes. Life's been busy. Don't you worry. We're not going to pull a Dad's Army podcast and just disappear.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah. So maybe they're back. I don't know.
We'll find out next week's housekeeping.
Yeah. For long-term fans, when we started the podcast on the Podomatic rankings, we were always getting just pipped at the post by the Dad's Army podcast. So we emailed them to challenge them to a let them know we were on the scene and out for blood. And then they never did a new podcast again.
They were that scared of the Screen Verdict traction that we were getting. Well, there you go. Yes, we're back. We have not been gotten caught in the upside down. We are very much still alive and kicking and here to review Stranger Things 3.
Ah, yes, the Upside Down.
Yes. We're pretty big fans of the show. I think you like season 2 slightly more than me, is that right?
Yeah, I can't remember what you thought of it. I think season 2, I think, was more consistently a good season than season 1. But season 1, I think, had a sort of better, like the whole disappearance of Will Byers was maybe a better anchor for the season. So I think both seasons were pretty good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the show. I thought season 2 definitely has the worst episode where Emo L goes to Chicago, which is not what the show is about. But anyway, what's even worse is that they never did anything with those characters. It introduced us to all these new people in Chicago, and then they have nothing to do with the story going forward.
Well, they probably got your feedback that you thought was the worst episode of the show, and they thought, well, let's not bring these. Did you want those guys to come back?
It's a double-edged sword because I didn't really care for those characters, so long-term I think it is good that we didn't end up spending more time with them, but it retroactively makes that episode even worse, even more pointless.
Yeah, like were you in the like final season or two of Breaking Bad going, why isn't that fly back? Why are we using why are they bringing that into the big story arc of the
people have been asking for a fly sequel episode.
Yeah. I'm assuming that they killed the fly. Anyway, don't worry about it. Sorry, you don't want to spoil Breaking Bad.
I was nervous, Matt. I was nervous about season 3. I didn't know if it would be as good. And to be honest, with the trailer that we got before the series came out, it looked like we were going to get a fair amount of angsty teen episodes, just kind of relationship drama. And not enough Stranger Things. That was my concern going into season 3.
Angsty teens are not strange enough for you. That's a run-of-the-mill show thing. You're like, I'm here to watch things that are stranger than boy and girl trouble.
Yeah, I don't want to watch Deathly Hallows Part 1 where it's just kids whining at each other in a forest. I want Deathly Hallows Part 2, where it all goes nuts.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting as we go through, and we will be spoiling Stranger Things 3 in this podcast. We'll be talking about things that happen. So you better give our, infamous spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Woo-woo-woo-woo!
Great. Let's break it down. Let's see if you were your fears were right or wrong. I was trying to think of fancier words than right or wrong, but we'll go with that. yeah, we'll see if you're right or wrong with your fears. And we thought to talk about this season of Stranger Things, we'd break it into the different groups, sort of our band of misfits and heroes, sort of broke up into a few different sections this season, and we'll just take on each of them.
Yeah, it was a little Game of Thrones-esque because we had a... we had a Joyce and Hopper storyline. We had Dustin, Steve, and Robin at the ice cream shop storyline. Jonathan and Nancy at the newspaper storyline. And then the rest of the kids, Lucas, Elle, Mike, Will, Max, and sort of Max's brother as well, Billy, just kind of running around. Going shopping at the mall, that kind of stuff, that storyline. And then they kind of come together towards the end.
Yes. So which one? I'll let you choose. Dealer's choice, Jonathan. What do you want to do? What section, what group do you want to start talking about?
Let's start at the ice cream shop. I thought that was a fun one. And also we get introduced to a new character, Robin. I've been very skeptical about new characters in the first 10 minutes of this podcast. What did you think of this addition?
Okay, this is the I thought Robin was great. Especially when I was like watching this season, I was thinking, you know what? Like Stranger Things, yeah, good, whatever. I won't spoil my opinion of the whole season now, but I was thinking, you know what's the best storyline in this show by a considerable margin? It's the Scoops Ahoy crew, the crew at the ice cream shop. You've got Steve, who's now working in an ice cream shop called Scoops Ahoy at the mall, his colleague Robin, and they're both super funny characters, and they play off each other so well. And then you've got Dustin, who's a funny guy, who starts hanging out and, like, they start solving a mystery together of a transmission in the mall. And so then you go, like, they got three of the best characters all in the one storyline. And then Erica, whose sister's Erica?
Oh, Lucas's Erica, sister?
Yeah, she joins the crew, and she's probably funnier than all of them. Like she was probably arguably the MVP of the season was Erica. So you got these four great characters all solving a mystery in the mall, getting into trouble, eating ice cream, serving up some ice cream. This was a real winner. This is one of the best things Stranger Things has ever done.
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoyed this storyline. Steve definitely has to be one of the most improved characters. I didn't really like him at the start of the show. And now, even though he can be sort of like a little bit cocky and douchey, you can see that he's sort of well-intentioned. And it's kind of funny to see him being put in his place a bit. He was the coolest guy at school. Now he's working at this ice cream shop with this girl that always making fun of him, taking him down a peg. So they're a fun team, and... Dustin, who's a complete nerd, you pair him up with Steve, who's a total jock, but they seem to get on really well, is quite entertaining to me. And then Erica, who is just concerned about ice cream. So Dustin loves this kind of adventure from sort of a technology point of view. Robin's interested in the language. Steve's kind of skeptical. Erica doesn't care about anything. She is just doing this to get ice cream.
Yes.
So I love that they all kind of come together, even though they have completely different motivations.
She's so sassy.
Exchanges. Yes.
Erica has some of the best lines of the season. Like, she's just fantastic. Now, there's a bit of a – I'm guessing we probably won't go through all the different plot points and all the things they get up to Robert, Dustin is sort of like going the whole way through, hey, Steve, you and Robin, you know, like, you should go out with her. You guys would make a great couple, trying to be a little bit of a matchmaker on their adventures. And you know what? I'm sort of with Dustin. I think that would be a great couple. I can really see them together. I think she's a great girl for Steve. And then they get in a sort of situation where it looks like Robin and Steve might die together. They're tied up. And because of that, Robin reveals some things and stuff like that. Anyway, long story short, it turns out that Robin is gay.
Yes.
Right. So sorry, Steve, very funny, and stuff. I've got no problem a gay character on a show. I don't think all characters need to couple up and we need to get them all together. I feel like Robin / the writers was somewhat misleading in a scene leading up to this where they're about to die and she's like, I've got a confession, Steve, and I'm gonna paraphrase this. I might get a little wrong. I've got a confession, Steve. In high school, I was in your chemistry class. Do you even remember me being in your chemistry class? He's like, no recollection. I was one of the cool guys. I don't really remember people like you. And she was like, but he's like, but I've changed. Now I realize people like you are cool. And then she goes, I was obsessed with you. All I could think about was you. I was just staring at you, thinking about you the whole time. So then Steve asks her out a bit later. And she's like, the reason I was obsessed with you is because there was a girl that liked you and I wanted to know why she liked you and not me. Right? Have I understood that correctly? I feel like that was super misleading to say how she was obsessed with Steve. Like, how could you not interpret that as she had a crush on you?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's definitely how it came across at the time. I think in retrospect, yeah, it's partially because he liked another girl and then that girl liked him, but she liked that girl, but she couldn't say anything because she was, you know, afraid of coming out. And I think it was also a status thing. You know, even if she's a lesbian and wasn't actually romantically interested in Steve, she was still kind of interested in the sense that, like, oh, he's really cool and everybody likes him and a guy like him would never look at me. And even though I'm a lesbian, I still kind of want him to look at me or at least just acknowledge me. It doesn't have to be romantic, but just, like, see me so I don't feel, like, alone and uncool. And that's why she kind of obsessed over him a little.
Why do you confess that to Steve when you're about to die? Unless you're trying to, like, profess some sort of love that was, like, some love that you never expressed in high school.
Yeah, it's tricky. I think it was her kind of just showing some vulnerability because she's very sharp. She can be a bit cold. She is very sarcastic. And I think this is her saying, you know, we're about to, you know, we might die, but I just want to like put us away the facade for a second and say, you know, even though I put you down or whatever all the time, you know, back in high school, I was obsessed with you. You were the coolest thing ever. And I wanted to be like you. And there's a chance for him to be like, well, being cool in high school doesn't really mean anything. And I actually wanted to be like you.
I like that. I like that. I think the way it was written was done to mislead the audience. And so that when she said she was gay, it would be a bigger twist in the show.
Yeah, I buy that.
Yeah. But I think the way you just described it, I think would have been that's a good scene. Like, I think that's some good writing.
Yeah, I like what they were trying to do, but that's not how it came. It did seem more romantic, and it only sort of seems that way in retrospect, which you're right. I think they were just trying to set up a bigger twist for the next episode. But yes, still one of the strongest storylines.
Matt,
What else have we got? Do you want to talk about... well, Eleven's kind of the most famous character in the show. I would argue the person that most people dress up as for Halloween.
Yeah.
Out of the Stranger Things characters. So we
Last year, I think I dressed up as Hopper.
Oh, nice. So we have Eleven, Mike, Lucas, Max, and then somewhat separate, but let's put in Billy, Max's brother. So they seem to have the most normal storyline, if I recall it. A lot of that was about, like, Mike and Elle getting together and then breaking up, because Hopper doesn't want them spending so much time together, so he kind of scares Mike, but Mike doesn't want to tell Eleven what's really going on. So Max tells Eleven to kick him to the curb. Did you find any of this interesting?
Not really. This is probably one of my least favorite storylines. There are a few, like, I think when they go to the mall and they get the, like, Max and Elle are like, hey, let's blow off the boys and go to the mall and get some clothes, and the guys are at the mall at the same time doing their, I don't know, whatever they're doing at the mall. Like, I think that was sort of fun. There was some fun, like, you know, teenager life sort of elements, but didn't love all the angst and the drama and stuff.
Yeah, I felt like a lot of this could have been resolved if they were just honest with each other. And one of the sort of catchphrases of the show is friends don't lie. And if Mike had just been honest to Eleven about what Hopper said, and Eleven had been honest to Mike about spying on him using their powers, they could have worked it out like 6 episodes sooner.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's sort of a true reflection, right? Like, teenagers sometimes, like, aren't honest, and that causes trouble. Well, adults too, not really. Like, but yeah, I completely agree. It was quite frustrating.
One thing that was kind of came up with the kids, which was maybe not super entertaining, but I thought was kind of interesting, I related to it a little bit, was how Mike and Lucas have girlfriends, and Will always wants to play Dungeons and Dragons, but the rest of the guys aren't as interested in it anymore. When I was in, I think, year 10, yep. Every year at school, I was young for my year. But in year 10, I was young for my year, and I was, 14 turning 15, and a lot of my friends were 15 and 16. And that's when they started to want to, you know, hang out with the girls, go to parties, start drinking. And I was like, hey guys, who wants to play Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2?
Yeah.
So they were making fun of Will and like, nah, we don't want to play Dungeons and Dragons anymore. And I kind of felt for Will. I was like, oh, I've been there, buddy. You'll grow up in a year or two and you'll feel just as cool as everybody else. But for now, not fun times for Will Byers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's fair. I can probably empathize more with that as well. Probably give the impression that I'm pretty cool guy that's ahead of the curve on things on the podcast. I was probably just, guys, let's just play some games. I'm still up for a board game tonight over, like.
Yeah. Too much drama. If you guys want drama, have you heard about Risk?
Yeah. Love it. Okay, so we got that stuff all happening. Yeah.
So they kind of get involved in what's going on with Billy. So Billy is going to hook up with Mike's mum because he's just too damn sexy a lifeguard, and he ends up in a crash and getting taken by the smoke monster, kind of possessed by the, what is he? What do they call him? Does he have a name?
The, I don't know.
The Demogorgon was just like the original single bad guy, but the big smoke monster guy.
The
anyway.
Mind Slayer.
Flayer? Mind Flayer, yeah.
Flayer. We love Stranger Things.
So he gets a hold of Billy, and Billy goes around, starts kidnapping people, and I can't remember how they, Max or L figure it out somehow, and they start trying to track him down. I found this a bit more interesting. You're like, okay, enough of the teen drama. Now we're back to the Stranger Things stuff. Eleven using her powers. That's what the show's all about.
Yeah, loved it.
Yeah, pretty, I'm just trying to think if there was anything worth talking about. Anyway, pretty cool scene in the cabin where it attacks and stuff. We see some interesting flashbacks, kind of learn a bit more about Billy and the way he is, why the way he is, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
All right, anything you want to touch on those guys? Or
like, I'm out on Bill. Like, I don't need this. Like, it's good for Max, I think, to get a bit of a backstory about her and Billy, so I didn't mind those scenes. But, like, I sort of hope that Billy doesn't become a Steve where in a season or two time he's part of the group. Like, I think he has done too many irredeemable things that he just needs to be a villain on the show, not some... But okay, give a bit of depth to why he's the way he is, but I don't want to see Billy reformed. Did he die at the end of the season anyway? Yeah, he died, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Skipping ahead, you don't need to worry about that.
Yeah, and he died. He gave up his life for them. That's fine. I don't mind that sort of redemption, but I don't want to see him be one of the crew. He was like racist last season. Like he tried to run over like her black friend. Like,
yeah, I never liked Billy, but I did like the backstory because it made him a bit more interesting. It made, rather than him just being a random empty vessel for the Mind Flayer to use, we cared a little bit more about Billy. And then, yeah, at the end, his kind of turn, his redemption actually mattered. It meant something. Yeah. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and I think he's a character that, to be redeemed, he needed to die.
There is no redemption for you in life, Billy.
Yeah, in death. You're like, look, you try to sleep with Mike's mum, you're a racist.
Don't think those two are really on the same level.
You're physically abusive. You're there's no coming back for you in a television series. Steve was just, like, mean.
Yes.
Like, you were just a mean guy that bullied the sort of unpopular kids and broke a guy's camera who had been taking photos of his girlfriend getting changed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think it would have made sense if Billy just became one of the gang.
Yeah.
So
playing Dungeons and Dragons with Will.
Like, if you love Steve and Dustin, you're going to love Billy and Will.
Yeah. the Bill and Will.
Love it. So one of the other storylines we had was Jonathan and Nancy at the newspaper. And apparently in whatever decade this is, the 80s, people didn't respect a lady at the newspaper office. They made that very clear over and over again.
Yeah. What was it like? Hey, what was it like? We got a problem. There's no mustard on my hamburger.
Yeah. Why don't you solve the case of the missing mustard?
Yeah. That was it. So just douchey guys at the newspaper. So douchey that when one of them gets taken over by the Mind Flayer, he doesn't seem that different. Yeah.
Just a sweaty and not even that much more evil guy.
Yeah.
So
some would argue an improvement because he's less like, seems like he's just more like consistently like villainous to people rather than just singling out women in the workplace.
Yeah, he's more murderous, but progressively murderous. He's an equal opportunity murderer. He's not just targeting the women, he's murdering everybody. So they get on. They got onto a case of the crazy rat. The rat that's eating, what is it, fertilizer or something? I can't remember how they get there, but it ends up with one of, I would say, the scare. Would you say the scariest scene in Stranger Things, the hospital scene?
I don't know, maybe. I haven't done the ranking of scariest things. It was somewhat scary. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get too scared watching Stranger Things.
I didn't used to, but I thought this season got pretty scary at times with the flickering lights in the hospital and those freaking glob monsters that were like attacking people.
Yeah, that was so scary. I forgot that one.
Yeah, because the rats eat the rats eat the stuff and then they explode and they turn into this glob and then the glob goes and joins the mind flayer and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's sort of thing in the hospital, like, so Nancy and Jonathan get split up and they're both fighting a different person that's possessed by the flayer, and like Nancy will punch one of them and the other one will act like they're punched too.
Yeah,
that was sort of cool, but I'm not sure we ever saw that in any other scene where there's multiple people possessed.
No, I don't remember that either. That's a good point. I have to go back. But anyway, no. I liked it.
Maybe it was consistent. Like,
Yeah, that's pretty much it for those two. I don't really have any other opinions on them.
Yeah, nah, great. They, I don't know. They now cracked the case. They lost their job at the paper. You know, caused a bit of tension between the two. Didn't really care too much for that. Hopper and Winona Ryder. What's their character's name?
Joyce Byers. So they're kind of an interesting pair. If you talk about Steve and Robin, will they, won't they? Boy, howdy! Joyce and Hopper, will they, won't they? Although, in Joyce's defense, she was with Will and... Is it just Will? I don't know. Will's... and Jonathan's dad. I don't know if we know what happened to him, but he's gone. And then she dated Samwise Gamgee.
In season one, we saw the dad, I think.
Did we? And then in season two, she dates Samwise, and then he gets murdered by a demodog. So I would be a little emotionally guarded as well.
Yes.
So we have them scheduling dates that are not dates, and then it doesn't happen. And then Joyce comes obsessed with these magnets that are falling down. So she goes to the science teacher, and then Hopper gets jealous of the science teacher. But then they think, maybe there's something to this. And they go track it down, and they go back to where the portal was, where they opened up the portal to the upside down. Yeah. And, they end up getting a hold of a Russian guy that can help them figure out what's going on, Alexei, as they get hunted down by Terminator. And they go down, Russian Terminator dude. And then they go to weird guy. What's his name?
Oh, the guy in the sort of bunker. No, he's not quite a bunker, but heavily armed things because he knows his secrets and stuff like that. Yeah.
Murray. They find Murray, yeah, because he speaks Russian and he's in on all these secrets and stuff. So, they're trying to figure out what's really going on with the portal while trying not to be murdered by Russian Terminator. What do you think of this storyline, Matt?
Ups and downs, but pretty good. I liked it, especially when they got the four of them together with like Alexei and the guy in the bunker and things. I thought they were a pretty fun group of four trying to trying to save the world and try to figure out what's going on. Do you think it was interesting when the magnets thing's happening and Joyce is trying to, like, talk to Hopper, like, these magnets, they're just, like, not sticking. I was like, oh, I'll be fine. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you're being in Stranger Things 1 and 2.
Yeah.
You know about the Upside Out. Yeah. I'd be a bit like Joyce, where, like, anything a bit outside of the ordinary, I'd be going, okay, we need to, like, look into this.
Yeah.
Like, we could be two magnets falling down away from just, like, a hole opening up in Hawkins and everyone being swallowed into it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, that's we might have talked about that before. It wasn't so bad in Stranger Things, but a lot of times you'll, in a horror movie or something, someone will get eaten by a werewolf, and then someone later on, someone will say they saw a vampire, and all the characters are like, vampires aren't real. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Your friend got eaten by a werewolf. The rules are out the window. Anything is possible.
So I thought Hopper was a little late to the party to get into this. I guess he was more focused on other things, like Ellen. It was liking Elle shutting the door when Will was around. He was getting pretty hot-headed about that. He didn't like that Nancy... Joyce stood him up for a date, and he had a new shirt he was pretty chuffed in as well.
Yeah. Hopper's definitely one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
I like just how grumpy he is. I thought some of the Joyce stuff back and forth was a bit annoying, but I did like it when they sort of ended up on the mission. The dynamic with Alexei and Murray was really good, especially when he does that thing where he lets Alexei go. Like, he gives him the keys to the car or whatever, and he's like, he'll be back. Like, he's going to realize this. Any minute he's going to come crawling back. And they're all like, you just gave him our only vehicle. What are we going to do now? Yeah. And then it worked. And you're like, yeah, win for Hopper.
I like that because, like, Hopper has been wrong about a lot of things in the past season or two. Yeah. I like that they showed his sort of competence.
Yeah.
Like, that he does know what he's doing. Like, and he does have a good read on people. And there is a reason why he's chief of police and why he's, you know, been a hero for the past couple of seasons. So.
Yeah, and he had some good moments with the mayor. Is it the mayor? I know, whoever that sleazy politician guy is, that's he had some good scenes with him as well. So there's some good moments for Hopper this season. I would say probably the only weak part of this storyline was the Russian Terminator guy. I thought that was really kind of basic and lame. Could have come up with a better bad guy.
Yeah. Super, like good fighter, horrible shot.
Yeah. I'm sure there was some funny thing with them. I don't know. Does he try to? I can't remember. He tries to throw a gun to Joyce, and it just ends up going to the bad guy or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was some funny scene there. Anyway,
that does happen.
So is that all the major storyline? Should we get to the end?
Yeah, I think so. Let's talk about the end. There's a few things that happen. So it all happens at the mall, the infamous mall that has closed, like, really affected the economy of the local stores. So it all comes down to the mall. There's a Russian bunker under the mall too, and they're trying to reopen the Upside Down and all these sorts of things happening. All the characters converge. The Russians get in on the mix. The Flayer gets in on the mix. Everyone sort of comes together. There's a big fight. It's pretty cool. The good guys win.
Yeah, I really like this. We finally got the gang back together. We see the kids running around, avoiding the Mind Flayer, working together as a team. Eleven's lost her powers, so they really are just working, you know, based as friends or based on teamwork without just relying on Elle. To save the day, as she usually does. We find out that Dustin's girlfriend was real. He calls her to get Plank's constant or whatever it is to, like, get into the the Russian base. Hopper and Joyce go down there, and Murray with the kids stay up top. And we end up with this situation where Joyce has to, what is it, like turn the key to like blow up the thing that's opening the portal, but Hopper's still down there because he's like fighting the bad guy, but the Russians are like running in, and she has to make the choice to save the world but kill Hopper.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. And she saves the world.
She saves the world just after they'd finally agreed to go on a date.
Oh. Annoying.
It's, yeah. Yeah, their dinner plans
we've all been there.
Yeah. Yeah, we've all been back and forth trying to put together a date with someone that you're interested in, only for them to kill you with the excuse of, I needed to do it in order to save the world.
Yeah.
That old chestnut.
Yeah, right before the date, they just blow it up.
Yeah, so this was pretty... Women. This was pretty heavy. And then this is also
But he's not dead, right?
Well, I have mixed feelings on this. Like, we don't know how that big ray gun portal thing works, and is it possible that Hopper survived or got transported somewhere somehow? Within the logic of the Stranger Things universe? Yeah, I guess so. But in general, I don't like it when shows kill off characters only for them to not really be dead. Because it seems like they just want to have their cake and eat it too. It's like, oh, we want this dramatic moment, but we also want this character's storyline to continue.
Yeah.
And it kind of takes away the threat of death in the future. Things that should seem scary or tense in the future are less so because you think, ah, well, are they just going to do another story trick and this person not really be dead? So, I don't know. I love Hopper. I kind of want him to come back, but at the same time, I don't. I almost feel like it'll be cheating to bring him back.
Yeah, I'm 95% sure he's going to come back. I'm cool. I think he's alive. I think there's no, like... Obviously, I'm saying 95%, so I do think there is a question, but yeah, no, I think I just feel like they're going to want Hopper back. And there's that. Did you see the scene at the end of the credits?
Yeah, so they go somewhere in Russia, and there's a prison, and we see that there's a demagogue in there that eats some guy, and then they make reference to someone in a cell that's the American.
Mm. So yeah, not the American. We need to keep him alive. This is probably a Russian accent, but anyway, it's really slightly more French.
So that could be Hopper, but could that also be Murray? Did Murray get out of the base?
Can't remember.
Yeah.
I was not thinking about Murray much at the end of the season, so yeah, he sort of slipped my view. I think it might be Hopper. I think it's Hopper. I might be wrong, but I'm just pretty convinced that that's Hopper in there. I think also like maybe there was like a split second, like I think I saw something, maybe there's a split second where there were a few Russians there that one of them could have grabbed Hopper and pulled him away right before it exploded.
Possibly. I don't know, we'll see. I don't think David Harbour's hosting SNL if he's not in the next season of Stranger Things, so
there was a gluggy, I think someone said, oh, in the cold open of the first episode, there was a gluggy residue left on the ground when someone was exploded. There was no residue with the Hopper. Anyway, I think regardless of all that, shows make continuity errors all the time. I just think they'll play him alive in the next season.
Yeah, I think you're right. We'll see. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but it did lead to, I would say, the most powerful moment of the season, if not the whole show, when Joyce gives Eleven a note that Hopper wrote to Eleven and never gave it to her, but she gives it to her now so she can read it after he's died. And I don't know. There must have been someone cutting onions in the room. I got something in my eye. Not sure what that was. But, yeah, that was a pretty, pretty emotional scene.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely.
And, yeah, 11, so I guess at the end, for the most part, everything seems okay for all the kids. 11 doesn't have her powers back. Yeah, what, Steve tries to get a job at Blockbuster or something. The buyers move. They're like, too much bad stuff's happening in Hawkins. We're moving somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think that was pretty much it. Billy died, as we talked about, sacrificed himself.
You mentioned it, but Dustin and his girlfriend, how great! Like, were you because the first episode, he's like, I come back from summer camp, guys. I've got a girlfriend. She's like so amazing. She's like the best girl ever. And the guy's like, okay, cool. And then he goes, I can radio her. Let's all like, well, you can all meet her. And then she doesn't radio in. And like, they're all like, okay, a girlfriend or whatever. Did you think there was a real girlfriend? I was pretty convinced that there was, just because I didn't know like what the payoff was with there not being one.
Yeah. If the reveal is, oh, sorry, guys, I just lied because of insecurities, that's not a very good reveal. Whereas if it's like, yeah, there's no way he has a girlfriend. And then it turns out he has an awesome girlfriend. Everyone's like, what? That's fun.
Yeah.
So at first, I'll be honest, I was skeptical at first, but then the lengths that he went to, I thought it would have just been really douchey to make his friends just stand out there for hours in the sun. If she wasn't really real. So I was like, nah, pretty sure.
Yeah, I think when we didn't get in the first episode that, okay, I made her up, guys, I thought they're not going to string this along for, like, multiple episodes. So I agree. Like, at first you were so like, oh, I wonder where they're going with this. Wonder if he's got the girlfriend, wonder if he doesn't. But by the time, like, they just have so many characters saying, yeah, girlfriend, you're like, okay, this is like,
yeah.
I think if he was not to have a girlfriend, some of the guys would believe him more. And then he'd go, guys, I've got to come clean. But, like, also there's the guys, like, if he'd said in the final episode, guys, I've got to come clean, the girlfriend's not real, everyone would have been like, yeah, we knew that.
Yeah. That could have been sort of funny. But I like the way it played out, and she made him sing the never-ending story theme.
Love that.
And they all made fun of him for it. That was pretty entertaining.
Yeah. No, I love that moment. Was that maybe the moment of the season? I think it was that or Erica negotiating for ice cream.
Awesome.
Oh, it's good.
Is there anything else you want to talk about, or should we give it a verdict?
Yeah. I guess we can. Give it a verdict, unless you want to sing the never-ending story together.
I don't actually know it. I never watched it. I only know it from Stranger Things.
You never saw the NeverEnding Story?
No, I never did. Oh,
like, I haven't seen it in years. Like, I saw it when I was a kid.
All right.
This is
how good that scene is. If you YouTube NeverEnding Story, the first result that comes up is the full Dustin and Susie NeverEnding Story scene, Stranger Things 3.
Yeah.
Not the actual never-ending story.
Yeah. The never-ending story. Turn around.
Don't stop.
Probably two or three is like Colbert and Fallon did a parody of the scene. So anyway, maybe we'll need to do a podcast on the Neverending Story. I think you'd have some opinions on that.
Jeez, well, if Dustin and Susie liked it that much, maybe I need to check it out.
So it's called The Neverending Story. What do you think the runtime is of it?
85 minutes.
1 hour 47 minutes. Is that 85?
No, that's 107. That's such a weird... I thought the reason why you asked it... I thought you wouldn't ask it unless it was super long, in which case it kind of makes sense, The Neverending Story. Yeah, it's like a 3-hour movie. Or, kind of jokingly, no, it's a surprisingly short movie. It ends rather quickly. But, like, an hour 47 is, like, a completely average film runtime. This is totally standard.
I asked it before I looked it up.
Okay. I thought you got me with the double bluff there.
I just thought it was an interesting, like, you know, question.
Stranger Things, okay. Season 3. Here's my thoughts.
Yeah. Turn around.
Oh, man. Look
at what you see.
Facebook.com/Screen Verdict Podcast. Let us know the percentage time on which The Neverending Story was talked about on this podcast. Too much or not enough? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I could see people voting, like, definitely thinking it's one of the two. I don't think anyone would think it was the right amount.
And then someone, yeah, there's just that one person that's like, well, I think in terms of Neverending Story content, that was about an hour 47 for me, just right down the middle.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Okay. So, my verdict. I really enjoyed this season. I thought we had some great character moments, some interesting storylines, some of the scariest, most intense, best action scenes of the show. Some of the funniest scenes. I loved the introduction of Robin and Erica. Alexi was funny too. And probably the most powerful emotional high point of the show, as I mentioned earlier, Elle reading Hopper's letter. So apart from a couple of like minor digressions into things that I didn't care about as much, there were no real huge missteps for me this season. I'm going to declare it the best season of Stranger Things and
what?
Give it a 9 out of 10.
That's nuts! Like not a crazy spin, but like that's big, that's huge.
9 out of 10, best season.
Whoa! I actually, like, credit to Stranger Things, right? Sorry, I'm just on my way to work if I'm... you know, your doors opening and things like that. My view on, like, I actually think Stranger Things, and I thought that season one was going to be so good. I like season one so much that I thought this is the kind of show, there's an upside down, it's sort of like a horror-y sort of thing like that. I sort of feel like it's going to go downhill. Like, I feel like this is a show that can't keep consistently good. This has been one of the most consistent drama series of the past sort of 3 years or 4 years. They've like every season, I think, is I like it a lot. It's got sort of its own distinct storyline, but it continues on with everything and stuff like that. I don't know. I love this. And the Scoops Ahoy thing was one of the best storylines they've ever had. The new characters they introduced were great. I was excited about watching every episode. I think they've created this great world and tone and things. I'm just not sure if it was better than the other seasons, but I really liked it. I'm going to give it I can't remember what I even gave the last two seasons. I'm going to say an 8.5 out of 10.
8.5. Strong. That's a 17.5 out of 20. That's going to be a contender at the next SVs for sure.
Yes. Okay, I'm setting off to work.
Yeah, well, the only plus side of that indicator noise is at least we know that Matt is being a safe driver and using his indicator.
Yeah. Yes. And it's hands free. I'm not touching the phone at all.
Yeah, you don't want to end up in a crash like Billy getting possessed by the Mind Flayer. So, eyes on the road.
Eyes on the road, not looking at Jonathan, we're just on the phone, hands-free, all that sort of thing. We're safe, and I had the phone secured before I turned on the ignition, so we're all following the laws.
You hear that, FBI?
Oh, Jonathan, the old Barker College bus just drove past. Oh. Your old school.
High school represent. I was a regular Steve.
Yeah. Feel like you've been a bit inconsistent with the picture you've painted of yourself as a high school student. This podcast.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Awesome job, Stranger Things. Let us know what you thought. This season, was it another hit? Did it go downhill, not live up to your expectations? Are you excited for season 4? Is Hopper still alive? Let us know your thoughts. Facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast.
Have you seen the trailer for season 4? They've released a little teaser.
I saw the 10 second one or something.
Yeah. We're not in Hawkins anymore.
Yeah. yeah, we're back to Chicago.
Everyone you know is
yeah,
is not in the show. It's just Eleven and her friends, sisters, or whatever those people are meant to be.
Yeah, Hopper is alive. We just don't follow his storyline anymore.
Yeah. All the actors were asking for too much.
Yeah, priced themselves out of the show. We hope you like these newer, much funnier, zanier characters.
Yeah, we've got a bumper podcast schedule coming up too, don't we, Jonathan?
Oh, lots to be excited about. VMAs.
The VMA Awards, which happened ages ago. I don't know who won. I haven't watched the music videos yet. I've saved a list of the nominees so that we can look it up without
spoilers.
Spoiling it. But I haven't even read what they are. So we're gonna watch those music videos together for the first time and then review them, get our hot takes. And then, like, I don't know, Big Little Lies, we could do that one. We both watched season 2 of Big Little Lies.
Yeah, could do Big Little Lies, maybe Fleabag, maybe Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So we got options. Yep. If there's something in particular you want to hear us review, let us know.
Yeah, we still have a Facebook page, I hear, rumor on the street.
All the kids are talking about it.
So, yeah, I'm excited.
All right. I'm excited. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll catch you again soon.
Over and out.